So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. And he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not hit heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember, in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you.
The Valley of Decision. Did you hear that line in that song? The Valley of Decision. And the devil whispers in your ear to just give up, go back, run away. So many of us can relate to that this morning. But I want to say that Jesus this morning does not want you to give up. He does not want you to run away. He wants you to stand your ground and fight and move forward. Amen? We serve a living Savior this morning, and I'm so glad that we are here this morning, and I'm so glad that you're here. So with that said, welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see everybody this morning. We do have the children's home away, so please remember them in your prayers, and I'm sure Brother Brian is preaching, so remember that, but it is good to be here. I wonder if we have any first-time visitors, maybe anywhere. I know we have some returning. We got one down here, and we got a brother that's returned. I believe you come to Calvary years ago, and talked with him a little bit before the service, and so maybe if we can get a card or two when and pass that out, that way we can keep a record of your visit. That'll be great, so we appreciate that, and just put that card in the offering plate when it goes by, and we will certainly keep record of that. We need to pray for America this morning. We are in trouble. We are in trouble. This is the only thing I'm going to say politically today, because I don't want our minds to get off in that direction. I want us to stay on spiritual things, but it's hard to ignore it totally. But God was watching after Donald Trump yesterday. God was watching after him. And we need to pray for him, pray for the leadership of our country, this upcoming election. Things are getting crazy. Things are getting crazy. Things are getting wild. And although I will say it was good to see everybody uniting, even the Democrats were saying that, you know, they were praying for Trump and praying for peace in America. And so that was good to see. But at any rate, we just need to lift up our land, lift up our former president. And the Bible tells us to lift up our present president as well. Pray for all of those in authority. So that's what we're going to do. So please remember that. Also, I want to say that Leonard Palmer, he had his first cancer treatment this past Monday, immune therapy. And we were able to be with him during that time. And he was there all day, all night. Finally got home the next day, and he was there at 9 o'clock in the morning. The treatment didn't start till around 3 o'clock, and it only took around 20 minutes. But anyway, they kept him 16 hours for observation. So he's going to go back tomorrow, Monday, and then he's going to go back again the following Monday. And our prayer is that it would work and suppress this cancer, keep it at bay, and if it does, then he'll have to go once a week for the rest of his life for treatment. So let's remember Brother Leonard and Miss Dolores, what troopers they are. Man, their faith really encouraged me this week. And so we're praying for you guys. Also, Diane Ely has a doctor's appointment on the 17th concerning her back. And so we'll find out if she is going to go forward with back surgery or not. A lot of people need a lot of prayers. I just want to encourage you to pick up a prayer list, a bulletin to my right in our foyer up there to stay up to date with all of our sick people and what they may be going through. I want to say thank you to our visitation team. We started the HAP ministry yesterday, and Brother Chuck had bought some hats, and he actually started the HAP ministry. I call it the HAP ministry, but we went out here on the at the skate park and the trail, and we were handing out Jesus hats to people and inviting people to VBS and church, and it was just a great time. So thank you, outreach team, for doing that. I do want to say no CLU, no Calvary Ladies Union meeting this month in light of VBS. We will pick that up next month, and so remember that. Vacation Bible School is next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. So if you have young ones, please bring them. And sure, please. Yes, go ahead. No, please. Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, remember that. And it's going to be a great time. And just remember that. Put that on your calendar. Put that on your to-do list next week. Come support that. Just two quick things. Looking ahead a little bit. Next month, at the end of the month, August the 25th, will be CGT. Calvary's Got Talent. So remember that. That is a fundraiser event to continue to improve the church here physically. So remember that. And then homecoming is official. I went back and forth with the children's home a little bit. Brother Snyder and Brother Brian, Youth Sunday, and potential dates for homecoming. Originally, it's the second Sunday in September. So this year, it's going to be the third Sunday, the 15th. So remember that. All right, enough announcements. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right, the Lord has something He wants to share. I know He does. And we just want to worship Him. So let's pray. Father, we love You today. We thank You. We praise You for all things. The good, the bad, the ugly. We don't like the ugly, but sometimes the ugly is good for us if it gets us to where we need to be. And so, Father, we lift up all these requests to You. We thank You for working in Leonard's life, Dolores' life. With his cancer treatments, Lord, I pray You'll extend his life. Lord, I pray You'll shrink the cancer. I pray You'll eliminate the cancer. Lord, You are the great physician. And so, God, today we just pray for our upcoming Vacation Bible School, that You'll bless us with children. We've tried to go out. We put forth the effort, Lord, to invite them to come. We really want to reach the children. And so, God, I pray that You'll give us an audience of young people for our Vacation Bible School. I pray that souls would be saved. And lives will be encouraged. And God, we just pray for the service again this morning that You would use it, bring honor and glory to Yourself, save the lost, bless the saved, encourage us, Lord, today is my prayer. We love You today. We pray for America as well, Lord, that You would just hold her closely and that Your will would be done. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Amen, church. Would you agree with me that this morning, if we need anything, we need a touch from God? We need it in our homes, in our families, in our church, and in our nation. If we have come this way for any other reason other than to worship the Lord, then maybe we could take just a minute and say, Lord, redirect me. Because He is worthy of our praise in the midst of it all. Amen? Oh, it's got to be stronger than that. Would you agree? Amen?
Amen?
So there is something about the name of Jesus that just draws us together. And it reminds us of the cross and the love that He has for us. Truly, we need Him to love on us this morning, but we also need to take an opportunity and love on Him, because there is something about the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me, church? Choir, would you stand with me? And we're going to sing through it. I want you to forget about everything else. Center your minds and your thoughts upon the Lord. You want to close your eyes and sing, raise your hands, whatever the Lord would have you to do this morning as we sing. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. He's Master, He's Savior, He's Jesus, like the fragrance. Sing it, church. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Yes, there's something about that name. And the church said,
amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I trust you had a good time in your Bible study class this morning. We were so glad to have Brother Don's class with us this morning. He's going through a little situation. Be back with us next week, or maybe this evening, I'm not sure. But he asked if his class could join with us. And unfortunately, they had to sit in there and listen to me for an hour. But it was so good to have them with us this morning. If you are not coming to Sunday school, you're not coming to Bible study, you are missing out on a blessing. And we would love to have you. I don't look across this morning and see anybody, I don't believe, that was not in a class somewhere, but there may be some that were not. And let me just invite you to come. If there's ever a time we need to have a little more of the Lord, it's today. Amen. So everything that we can hear about Him and from His Word and get direction from the Word of God, we need it today. So you come and be a part. There's a class for everybody. We're not trying to say, hey, you come to our class or you go to that class. You come, find yourself a place where you feel comfortable, and just go ahead and soak up more of the Word. We need it today. Amen? So there's a little plug for Sunday school. Amen. But it was a great, great time this morning. If you're here this morning, again, if you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. We thank you, and we're glad to have Jared back. Man, we hadn't seen you in a while. We're so glad to have you with us this morning, and some others that are visiting. We are so thankful. And please remember this evening at 5 o'clock, choir, I'm going to be working towards something. And we're still praying that the Lord send us a pianist. And the Lord knows exactly who's out there and who we need. But I am so thankful for Randy and his willingness to help. He's doing a tremendous job. And we're so thankful for that. So so please, if you get a chance, go to him this morning and thank him for all the work that he does. He'll just say it's all for the Lord. And that's truly what it's all about. Amen. But you pray for the choir. You pray for the music department. You pray that the Lord would send us what we need. And until then, we'll just keep on plugging. Amen. So I've got something I want to work on this afternoon and maybe through this week. So you make that a matter of prayer. But let's go to him again in a word of prayer this morning. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, we realize that through this world we are going to be attacked on every hand. But Lord, I am glad to know that we can stand on a solid rock. And his name is Jesus. And there is something about that name. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that we can feel here in this place this morning. And the comfort that we have in coming together as a body of born-again believers, that we can worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us not get so caught up, Lord, that we would, Lord, be so divided But Lord, we need to come together. If there's ever been a time we need to come together, it is today. Help us, Lord, as a family, as a church, as a nation, to come together for one cause, and that is to tell people about Jesus until he comes back. Father, I pray that you'd bless this morning in the message, touch the messenger. Bless any offering and be with the giver. But Lord, may the Holy Spirit fill this place. We'll be able to take something home that will be a help to us in the days to come. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. Be with every prayer request that's been mentioned and those that were not. In Jesus' name.
There's a line in the song this morning that says, he's been faithful to every promise he ever made me. And I've said it time and time again. Most of you that know my earthly father, he failed me time and time again up until about a year before he passed away. But I'm so thankful to report this morning that my heavenly father, he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see no way. He makes a that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him? When I can see no way, He makes a way. And did I mention that's all I want to say? Did I mention He is faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say.
Got a special this morning, and let me just say this, the altars are open if you need come and pray. I already have a couple right now, but I had Lily sing a song this morning. I asked her if she would, and you just listen to the words of this song called Reckless Love. Pray for her.
Overwhelming, never ending regret. coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, be over, tell me never, living records of the dawn. Oh,
praise the Lord this morning for all the good singing. Did you enjoy the singing this morning? Say amen. 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 We appreciate our singers and musicians and our choir director. Appreciate our audio video in the back and all of our workers there. Appreciate them, all the audio video work. It takes a lot to make a church run. And we just appreciate each and every one of you so, so very much. All right. Wonder if anybody has a word of testimony before we begin this morning. Anybody at all? Only if you have something that's on your heart and you just can't keep it to yourself. All right. All right. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you have your Bibles this morning, please take your Bibles and make your way to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 is where we're going to be for the next few moments this morning. If you're here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not here this morning, say amen. Okay. All right. All right. Sometimes it takes a little while to get the tractor going. But we're going to get it going here in a minute. Let's bow for a word of prayer and then we'll introduce the subject this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. Thank you for your love. Oh, Lord. Pray for the next few moments, God, that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart, Lord. Help me, Lord, minister to the people that's here. Those that are watching on Facebook, listening online, we care about nothing else than those that are listening and watching right now. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Last Sunday morning, we preached out of James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. And the subject was, go after God. And that verse says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And the main objective with that message is to just think about the fact that it takes initiative to get close to God. So we spoke about that. If we are going to get close to God, we must make the first step. And that was last Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, we're going to be back in the book of James, chapter number 5. And when we look at chapter number 5, you can divide this chapter into three parts. Number 1, in verse 1 down through verse number 6, we have a warning to the rich. Verse number 7 down through verse number 12, we have patience in suffering. And then the third part is verse number 13 down through verse number 20, and that deals with the prayer of faith. And so this morning I want to look at that second part, that part that covers the subject of patience in suffering. Now, that's not my official title, but that is the segment that we're going to be in. And so with that said, notice if you would, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." I'm going to stop reading there this morning. We read James chapter number 5, verse number 7, down through verse number 12. I want to call your attention to verse number 7, to a specific phrase. The Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." This morning I want to preach for a few moments on that one word, patience. Patience. I want to give you three things that pertains to this word, patience. Number one, there's the definition of the word patience. The word patient here in this verse, it means to be long-spirited. It means to be long-suffering. It means to be steadfast. Anyone here this morning whose patience is being tried? Wouldn't it be nice to just snap our fingers and we have patience, or our difficulty is over? Just like that. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? It reminds me of a man who called Delta one day and he asked, "How long does it take to get from Atlanta to Germany?" The clerk said, "Just a minute." The caller said, "Thank you very much," and he hung up the phone. Huh? Man, this guy thought it took a minute to get from Atlanta to Germany. Most of the things that really matter in life do not happen in just a minute. Amen. It takes time. The Christian life requires this morning a lot of patience. Life in general requires a lot of patience. Therefore, God says in His Word, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." So I have a word of patience for you this morning. The patience that James is talking about here is being long-spirited during adversity. the patience that James is talking about here is being steadfast when you want to give up. He's talking about continuing on when you want to quit. James is talking about being steadfast, unmovable, never giving up, experiencing life in the good times and experiencing life in the bad times, but remaining the same, continuing on. That's what James is talking about when it comes to patience. You know, this morning we can never grow spiritually until we really learn this subject of patience. Why is that? Why is it that we must have patience to grow spiritually? We must have patience to grow as a human being within ourselves. And we must have patience to grow to have a successful life in marriage. Why is that? Why is patience so necessary? I'll give you two reasons why patience is so necessary. Because when we're experiencing a good thing, listen to me, that we don't want to end, we grow impatient. When there's something good in life we're experiencing and we're enjoying it, we don't want it to end. Therefore, we are impatient. Therefore, we cannot continue to enjoy life because there's this good thing we're experiencing, there's this good thing that's happening, and we don't want it to end. Therefore, we grow impatient. We can't enjoy life. So that is one thing this morning, one situation where we are most prone to be impatient. When good things are happening, that's crazy, isn't it? We just don't want them good things to end. But number two, we are prone to be impatient when we're experiencing a bad thing that we want to end. We experience good things that we don't want to end, then we experience bad things that we do want to end. And both of those things, we find ourselves being impatient, not able to enjoy life. That's why patience is so important to us. And that's why patience is necessary in order for us to grow and be mature spiritually and to have great homes and marriages and relationships. We have to have patience in order to grow. A great preacher named Philip Brooks, who was known for his calmness and poise, had two sides to him. He was calm publicly, but privately, to those that knew him best, he would be seen at times pacing the floor like a lion confined in his cage. One day a friend asked, "What's wrong?" And he said, "The trouble is I'm in a hurry and God is not." We all experience those times in life where we need God to move, we need things to line up, we need things to iron out, but yet God is not in a hurry as much as we are. This is God working patience in our life. He is saying, listen, if you're here this morning and you're going through an experience, a time where you are having to wait on God, you're having to be patient, it is because God sees that you need patience in your life to get you to where He wants you to be. Patience is necessary this morning. We all have experienced these crossroads and intersections in our life. God wants us to learn to be patient and wait on Him in all situations of life. Now, why does God want us to learn to be patient? I'll tell you why. One primary reason. Because God uses Christians who are patient. God uses Christians who are patient. In every church, God has used Christians that were patient and steadfast during the good times and during the bad times. God uses patient Christians. Impatience is a problem in a lot of churches with its members and its pastors. Impatience has been the downfall of many, Brother Ceylon, pastors and even church members. Many pastors will leave the pulpit and quit and turn in their resignation because the church isn't full or the church isn't growing. Many Christians will leave the church because God is trying them and testing them. They have this, they're at a crossroads, this intersection in their life where their patience is being tried, and so they just give up on God and church. In fact, according to statistics, 1,500 pastors quit each month due to the lack of patience. Just as many, if not more, churchgoers stop going. Great preacher Curtis Hudson thought his first Sunday as pastor, he thought there wouldn't be an empty seat in the house. No pews open, all filled. To his surprise, not many people were in the seats. He was greatly discouraged, but God was teaching him early in ministry to have patience, to wait on the right season, to move forward. And so he did. And he became one of the greatest preachers and had one of the biggest churches of all time. That's Curtis Hudson. And so we need more Curtis Hudsons in our day. We need more Pauls in our day. Paul in the Bible faced great difficulties in life, yet he was patient and God used him greatly. Someone said one time that when Paul was on earth serving the Lord, he didn't find what kind of motels were in the area that he could stay the night in, but he checked out what the jails were like. Didn't check out the motels. He checked out the jails because he knew trouble was coming. He knew he would be incarcerated for doing what's right, preaching the gospel. Why is it this morning we are so surprised when troubles come? Paul expected trouble in his life. Hold your place here in James. Turn, if you would, to the left of the book of Acts. You can follow along on screen. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 22 down through verse number 24. Listen to this. Here we have Paul's attitude toward trouble and the unknown. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that my bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, he says, here's his attitude, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I don't know what the future holds. God is sending me in this direction. I don't know what the future holds. He says, but none of these things, whatever comes my way, I am drawing a line in the sand, and I'm saying right now I am firmly committed to whatever comes. I am not stopping and I'm not giving up. He says, none of these things move me. You know some of the attacks that Paul had. One time in his life, he was stoned and carried outside of the city, left for dead. And the Bible says that he got up and he went right back in the gates. What does it take to move you this morning? What does it take to stop you from going so hard after God? What does it take this morning to stop you from trying to move ahead in your life? What moves you? Now, I want to say this. In every church, you'll find two types of Christians. And really, in the world, you'll find two types of Christians. Number one, there are those roller coaster Christians. When something happens and the wind blows the wrong way, they're moved and they don't want to serve the Lord anymore. One minute, they're on fire. One week, they're on fire. And then the next week, they don't want to be bothered. Roller coaster Christians. But then there's rare Christians. These are the patient ones who are firmly rooted in the Lord. The winds come, the winds blow. They're not perfect, but they're steadfast. They're patient. These are the rare Christians. The patient ones God is using year after year because of their steadfastness. I thank God for the patient Christians here at CBC, Calvary Baptist Church. Calvary is here today because of you. You have been patient through the years. You have been steadfast when the winds of adversity would come through here or in someone's life. You drove your anchor down and you said, I shall not be moved. You stayed with the Lord. You kept giving in tithes and offerings. You kept building this church. And because of your faithfulness, I have a church to pastor this morning. Because of your faithfulness, people have a church to come to worship the Lord. And listen, there are those who are steadfast. These are the rare Christians. God, this morning, has a call for you to be a rare find. Be a rare Christian. Calvary is here today because of you being faithful through the years. If we want Calvary to be here tomorrow, it'll be because of us. The older generation is dying off. Let us have patience and weather the storms of life and continue on. You will be shocked at the reasons why some people leave church. So-and-so did not speak to me. We'll get used to it. The church is not a perfect place with perfect people. It is a place with forgiven people and people who are trying to get better at life and as a Christian. So-and-so didn't speak to me. And you'll be surprised at the people who leave a church because someone didn't speak to them or someone spoke to them harshly. What does it take to move you away from your church this morning? What does it take to move you away from trying to have the kind of marriage God wants you to have? What does it take to move you away from giving life your all every single day? What is it that is stopping you? We'll be surprised this morning at the reasons why some people stop going to church and stop pursuing the Lord. And so number one this morning, we see the definition of patience. It means to be long-spirited, long-suffering, steadfast. And again, back in our text verse this morning, James chapter number 5, verse 7, he says, be patient, therefore, brethren. So there's a call this morning to be patient. To be patient. Now, are you with me? Say amen. All right, I'm going somewhere with this, and I promise you we're going to get to some other points that are very encouraging. There's the definition of patience, but then there's the duration of patience. The duration. How long are we to be patient? And here's the answer, until Jesus comes. We're to be patient until Jesus comes. Look at what he says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Do you believe Jesus is coming back this morning? Say amen. All right, amen. Well, we are to be patient until then. We get some of the biggest troubles in our lives when we get impatient. Things aren't happening as fast as we want them to, and so we quit. You remember Abraham and Sarah? Abraham was promised a seed, a child, that through this child one day all the nations in the earth will be blessed. Well, they were getting up in age. I mean, I believe Sarah was 100 and Abraham thereabouts. And so basically the conversation went like this. Sarah, what are we going to do? We're getting up in age. We're about to die. So to make a long story short, to summarize the scripture there, Abraham called for Hagar, the handmaid, and had a child through Hagar. And this was not the promised seed. This was Ishmael. And because of that one bad decision all those years ago, there's still trouble in the Middle East. And so God spoke to Abraham and said, Ishmael is not the one. Isaac is going to be the one. There is a promised seed coming. And so eventually we have Isaac and then we have Ishmael. We have that which was produced by the flesh, that which was produced because they were tired of waiting on God. And then there was the promised seed, Isaac. If you're saved this morning, you have an Ishmael and you have an Isaac inside of you. There's that part of you that's tired of waiting on God. There's that part of you that is very impatient and you want to be like Abraham and Sarah and just get ahead of God and make this thing work. Don't do that this morning. Don't get ahead of God. Wait on God. Patience pays this morning. So we see that we are to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. That's the duration of patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Let us wait on God this morning. Let us wait on Him. One great need of the church is patience, steadfastness. It's going day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, being patient and steadfast. We need that in our families. We need that in our relationships, not just a date night occasionally, but we need to be there for our families and our loved ones, our spouses, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Patience. Patience. What is God trying your patience on this morning? What is it? Could God be wanting to grow you in patience? And so this is how God grows grows us, and this is how God grows the church, is through patient people, steadfast people. Now, the devil tries to hinder us from being patient, doesn't he? The devil comes along and tries to discourage you. He comes along and he tries to discourage me. He tries to bring difficulty. Has the devil ever got on your shoulder and said, it'll never work? Has the devil ever got on your shoulder and said, you're nothing but a failure? Why even try? Has the devil ever tried to weaken your hands through failures in the past, reminding you of those things? The devil wants to discourage you, and he wants to create great difficulty in your life, so that you'll be impatient and make a bad decision. We are to be patient till Jesus comes. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, if you haven't heard anything else, hear this. James says, be patient. God will take care of the rest in due time. Now, I mentioned in verse number 1 down through verse number 6, it's a warning to the rich. Listen to this. In verse number 1, the Bible says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. They have so much stuff, the moths are eating it away. They have so much stuff, it's becoming to be corrupted. Now, there are bad rich men and there are good rich men. We're not saying to be rich is neither bad or good, it's the person. Verse number 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. But look at verse number 4. This is what the church was going through. Behold, remember that word behold? We looked at that word behold the other day, last Sunday night. That word, behold, it means stop, look, listen, pay attention. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud. So there were these that were hired to do a work in the vineyard, and the rich people weren't paying them like they should be paid. They were holding back. The next word says, crieth. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth. So these poor are crying out. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That name of the Lord, Sabaoth, is Lord of hosts. And so what James is literally telling us is that these rich people are being mean and cruel and holding back wages on you, giving you beneath bare minimum. And they are crying out, they are crying out to the Lord, Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And I want to tell you that God hears their prayer and God heard their prayer. And anybody that is going through anything, whether it's something similar to this or some kind of adversity, some kind of problem, and you cry out to God, the God of Sabaoth, the God, Lord of hosts, He hears you and help is coming. Verse number 5 says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. So James is saying, be patient. You're going through attack. You're going through adversity. You're going through a great time of struggle and pain, but be patient. Be steadfast. Keep going, because the Lord, Sabaoth, knows where you're at. He hears your cry. The Lord of hosts will revenge. The Lord of hosts will involve himself in your situation. And so therefore, we are to be patient until Jesus comes. No matter what the situation is, be patient. Be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, there's something else I want to mention. Not only the definition of patience, the duration of patience, but the description of patience. Notice what he says, James 5, 7. Again, that word behold is there. Stop, look, listen. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early in latter rain. The description of patience, it's likened unto a farmer. He mentions the husbandman, the farmer. It takes a lot of knowledge and patience to be a farmer. That's why we have a description of patience here. Listen to this. A city man moved into the country, and he wanted to become a chicken farmer and raise chickens. Turns out his next door neighbor was a chicken farmer. And so the neighbor said, it isn't easy being a chicken farmer, but to help you get started, I'll give you 100 chickens. 2 weeks goes by, and the neighbor comes over and asks, how's it going, new chicken farmer? He says, not that good. All 100 chickens died. The new farmer said, The older farmer said, what happened? Why did all the 100 chickens die? The new farmer said, I'm not sure whether I planted them too deep or not far apart. Didn't know a thing about being a chicken farmer. I don't know why they died. It was either I planted them too deep or too far, not far apart. Not far apart enough. Again, it takes knowledge and patience to be a farmer. And the Bible is descriptive about patience here. He likens it to be a farmer. How was farming done then? Well, a farmer plants a seed in one day, but he does not come back the next day and expect a crop. He plants one day, and then he's patient. That farmer that plants the seeds does not come back in 2 days. He is not expecting a crop in 2 days. That farmer that is trying to be a farmer doesn't say,
It's been a week. There is no crop. I quit. I'm not farming anymore. That's a little bit about how farming is done and goes. They don't plant and expect a crop the next day, and they certainly don't quit when there's not a crop. But when it comes to living the Christian journey, the Christian life, in life in general, a lot of us have this kind of attitude when things don't happen overnight. Well, I went to church Sunday, and God knows my heart. I wanted to do what's right, but here it is Monday, and trouble's still here. A lot of times we think just because we come to church one time or two times, just because we read our Bible a few times, that we won't have any trouble. And just because we may get counseling in our lives and we may try to repair our families and the families aren't being repaired overnight, we get discouraged and we just give up. James says we got to be like a farmer. We need to get down on our hands and knees, roll up our sleeves, and get to work. I love working in the yard. Our last house, more so than this house, just because of the time frame. I was in my mid-20s. I'm in my early 40s now. I do have some back problems because of that, but I would get down there, and I was so excited, and I was digging them holes and planting them flowers, and you won't believe this. Okay, when we bought our first house and it came grass day, I used a lawnmower, but I didn't use a weed eater. You know what I did? I grabbed scissors and went along the fence line in the walkway. Crazy, huh? I didn't want to spend the money. And so halfway through the summer, I said, I'm buying me a weed eater. And I went from a push mower to a riding mower. But I used to love to do that. And nowadays, I do it just to get it over with because of hot Georgia heat and weather. But you know, when we go to plant flowers and to plant seeds and things like that, we can't get mad if there's not a rose bush the next day. We have to keep planting. We have to keep watering. We have to keep believing. So you this morning that's trying to be a better Christian, keep sowing, keep going. You that's trying to have a better relationship with your spouse, your relative, whatever the situation may be, keep sowing, keep going, keep being steadfast because God blesses steadfastness. He says, behold, look, listen, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. I guarantee you the seed you're planting now, by you being patient, you want to quit, but you're going on, you're being steadfast, you're moving forward. I'm here to tell you there's going to be something precious come up from it if you don't quit. Keep waiting for that precious fruit of the earth. The Bible says, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. And so we see the farmers, they plant and they don't get discouraged. They just keep waiting. They sow in faith and they wait for the rain. That's how we need to be. The farmer knows he must be patient. The Christian must know they must be patient. Listen to this. Let us be patient for the development of God's will in His time. Don't short circuit God's plan. He knows where you're at. He knows your name. Be patient. Wait on Him. Don't short circuit His development in your life. Listen, this morning, we can't control the rain, the sun, the season. The farmer can't control those things. God controls that. And so while we patiently wait in hope of the turning of the season, by which we may obtain what we desire, we must wait for it. God is in control of the harvest. We are called to sow and be patient. Put forth effort and watch God work. Look at the latter part of that verse and I'll be through. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for
the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until, there's a key word here, until he receive the early and latter rain. This early and latter rain is in reference to fall and spring, especially in Palestine, rainy seasons. And we know if there's going to be a crop, there has to be water. There's several times during the year in Palestine that there's droughts and the ground is dry. The ground is dry here. Amen. We need some rain. And without that rain, there is no way for a crop. And so the farmer knows eventually the rain will come. This morning we need to prepare for rain. We need to keep digging, keep plowing, keep going, keep hoping, keep praying, keep moving, and keep just believing God. One day He'll send the rain in your life, and it will water and it will moisture all the hard work you've been doing. And as a result of that, boop, 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 beautiful garden. But you got to wait on the rain. God is sending the rain to Calvary Baptist Church, and I wonder who has their umbrellas open this morning. Now, I was going to bring one for illustration. I walked right out of the house and left it. So here's my invisible umbrella. I'm standing here under my umbrella. There hasn't been rain in a while, but the Bible tells me, according to farming and husbandry, there is a place where rain is involved. And I want to say this morning, God is going to bless this ministry. God has been blessing this ministry. God has blessed my life and my family's life. God's going to continue to bless my life and my family's life. It may be dry right now. And somebody might say, "You idiot, why are you holding an umbrella when it's sunshiny outside?" Because I am waiting on God to send the rain. My suggestion to you as they come, my suggestion to you and to me, right now, in the middle of your drought, pop open your spiritual umbrella and put it over your head. Because according to seasons in the physical world, rains come. Palestine, late fall, early spring. The Lord, through James, is pointing something out very important. You're just in between rainy seasons. That's all it is. I'm not trying to sound like a TV preacher. I'm not trying to sound like some crazy guy who hits people on the forehead. Listen, I'm telling you, you're in between rainy seasons. And the devil got on your shoulder and he's telling you to quit because it hasn't rained yet. Don't quit. Be patient. Keep working. Believe, trust the Lord. He sees what you're doing. He knows your effort. He knows that. In the meantime, hold up that invisible umbrella and wait on the rain. Because when the rain comes, the crop's going to come. God will bless your efforts. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have showed to His name and you have ministered and do minister to the saints. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We've done our best to try to share the topic of patience. Lord, I get impatient. You know that. Everybody in this room, their patience has been tried at some point or the other. But Lord, help us take courage this morning. Give us hope in our hearts that our labor is not in vain. Paul even said, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. To be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because it's not, our labor is not in vain. Lord, help us to keep plowing away in our homes, in our jobs, in our lives, and to have our umbrellas up because the rain is coming. You said it would. We love You. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to encourage you on the very first verse if you need to come. Nobody pointing, nobody laughing. This is why we're here, to do business with the Lord, if you would come. Do you need God to send the rain? to water your dryness, to moisture your bones, as David says. God will do that. He will send the rain. He will send the rain this morning. Keep being patient. Keep laboring. Keep working. You may be here this morning and may need to get saved. You may not know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. If not, please come. Come to me. Come to someone in the altar. We can show you that direction. You may just want to come to say, Lord, I'm saved, but here I am again. I've given up because of the dryness, but this morning I sense the smell of rain. Rain on me this morning, Lord. Rain on me. That might be you this morning. Anybody else? Patience. Patience. Some precious fruit is coming, I promise. Just keep being patient. Keep being patient. Well, we're glad you came this morning. Thank you for listening, and I hope you got something from our time of worship and the time in the Word. And that's our goal here at Calvary, is to praise the Lord, worship Him in song, but then worship Him in the Scriptures as well. Hope you got something this morning. And if you did, take it out and use it and share it with somebody. Just remember, tonight at 5 o'clock will be our casual Sunday night service downstairs. We have something totally different we want to share with you tonight. And it's been 2 or 3 years since I've shared it, but it's on my heart to share it. So we're going to share that, the Lord willing. We'll have some snacks, some good time of fellowship together. And so make plans of being with us if you can. And I'm so thankful that you come this morning. All hearts clear before we go. Anything I left out? All right. Well, God bless you. Have a great afternoon. And Lord willing, we'll see you here in just a little bit. Brother Seelong, would you close us out in a word of prayer?